You may be seated. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, as we come together in these moments, encounter us where we need to be met by your word. May we feel your comfort where we are afflicted. May we feel your challenge where we have become too comfortable. May we feel your peace where we are anxious. Ultimately, Lord God, may we feel your love, that we know how loved we are by you, by this community. And Lord God, may that guide us into our week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It is wonderful to be back with you. I am so glad my friend Bill Bolden was here to lead worship with you last week. I was on my annual golf outing with my pastor buddies. We've been doing this for over 20 years, and we go every year somewhere to play golf. The other name we call this week is Lutheran Pastors Behaving Badly. So, or Lutheran Pastors Gone Wild, if you want to go that way. But it is fun, and it's a great time away. And this year I did something over all the 20-some years that I've never done before. This year, I did not take my phone. I did not. And I want to say how much I recommend this to all of you. I had no access to texts, no access to phone calls, no access to email because I have a smartphone, no access to Facebook, no access to Twitter, no access to news, nothing. It was just a week of being gone. And let me tell you, I discovered that there's a whole new world out there. That's amazing. For example, many of you, I'm sure, in life, when you have to wait in line, what's one of the first things you do? You pull out your phone. You know, get a quick game of Candy Crush in or something, or whatever you need to do. You pull out your phone, check it for email, whatever. Guess what I did when I was waiting in line at the grocery store? I waited. I just stood there and looked around and looked at people and took a deep breath and didn't worry about anything. And that happened all week. It was tremendous. Now, I did this because I wanted to see if I could do it, for one. But number two, I did this because over the last number of years, I've just noticed that I've become more anxious in my life. A little more anxiety. And I think one of those reasons is because I was always connected to something. I was always connected via email or text or social media of the different kinds. I was always connected to something else. And what's interesting about that is that it's kind of like that old Pavlov's dog routine. Do you remember that? They would hit the certain thing and they would get reinforced by hitting a certain button, and that there would be food there, and they'd be reinforced by that, and they would do all that. Well, those little dings that we hear on our phones, like when it beeps and tells you you have a text, or beeps and tells you that you have a Facebook message, or beeps and tells you that you got a phone call coming, or beeps and tells you that there's an update to the score of whatever game you're caring about. That's kind of like what happens to Pavlov's dogs. It's that we get a reinforcement in our brain. It's changing our brain chemistry. It's like there's a hit of dopamine every time that happens. And it's changing us. It's changing us. We're not necessarily becoming less human, but we're definitely becoming different humans. And so, because of that anxiety that I think is a part of our world now, maybe not exclusively to our generations. Certainly there was anxiety before us and there'll be anxiety after us. But we are living a particularly anxious time, having access to all the information is anxiety producing because there's no reason to wait. In fact, we forget the beauty of waiting. One of the realities of an anxious time is that anxiety produces problems in relationships. Relationships with friends who you know and you're good friends with, but perhaps they post something on Facebook with which you disagree, and it can cause some brokenness. Or perhaps they send you an email that without the face-to-face, being able to read each other's facial tics and cues and knowing that it was not intended the way that they sent the email, well, that can cause brokenness or fracturing in relationship. If someone, you know, sends you a text that you misread or misinterpret, or you can tell that the things that they are liking and sending you via email or Facebook or on Twitter, any of those things that are things that you might not agree with, it can cause friction and fracturing in relationships. And you know, relationships are important in the life of faith. They're important to Jesus. He talks about them in our gospel lesson today. He talks about how we use language and what we say to each other and how that can cause problems, and that there's an importance to be placed on reconciliation, where we find opportunities to make right those relationships that have become broken. That's not always easy. I have a story that I always think of when I read our gospel lesson for today, where they talk about before you bring your offering up to the altar, go and make right with your brother and sister. I remember this story of my friend Brian. We were in seminary together. We were at a Thursday night worship, and we were going up to take communion. And Brian was ahead of me. And as we were walking up, he got out of line, and he left the line. And he walked over to another friend of ours, one whom I knew that week they had had some butting of heads. They had had some problems. They had had some friction. And he went over to the friend, and he was like, "Friend, I'm sorry." And they had this conversation, and they hugged, and they made themselves right. And then he went back and got in line and brought himself and offered himself at the altar. And I remember thinking about that, and thinking how powerful it was, how meaningful it was that he had done that. And it wasn't that if he had gone up and taken communion that it wouldn't have worked, that it wouldn't have been efficacious, that somehow Jesus wouldn't have been present. I don't think that's why he did it. He did it because there is a primacy of reconciliation. Be reconciled to each other, St. Paul teaches us. And indeed, Jesus is teaching us that today. You know, one of the most powerful images of Jesus in our world is of the one who reconciled himself to the broken world so that there might be right relationship now, not only between God, Creator, and creatures, us, but a model for us to be in relationship with each other, meaning a willingness to give of ourselves so that there might be opportunity, indeed the blessing of new relationship. And I wonder if in a world that is so anxious, where we are so available to information, that perhaps what we need to be a non-anxious presence in a very anxious world is what we need is a little time away to pray, to center ourselves again in the Word, so that we might walk back into anxious and anxiety-producing situations with people or with professions and be that non-anxious presence in a very anxious world. This week, being unavailable to you and to others, and to news and all that, being unavailable to that is making me way more available now. And I believe that as you, in walking your Christian life, find those places to remove yourself from the anxiety-producing aspects of our world. As you remove yourself from those, you will find that you can be a non-anxious present in a very anxious world. Because I believe that is who God is calling us to be. And that is how we will indeed bring about reconciliation. That is how we will bring about together in our lives and in the lives of the people in our world that we can bring about new life and new hope and new possibility by being the non-anxious people in our very anxious world. I pray that it may be so for you and for us. In Jesus' name, amen.